Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry. Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly. I'm Sarah, and this is our quarterly earnings deep dive. Today, we're analyzing United Parcel Service's 10Q filing for Q1 2026, filed May 6th. With me is Mike, our industry analyst. Mike, this filing shows some dramatic strategic pivots happening at UPS.
Absolutely, Sarah. If we reduce this filing to one sentence, it's this. UPS is executing a controlled demolition of its legacy business model, while betting everything on premium revenue quality over volume scale. Based on this filing, United Parcel Service is operating in a structural reset phase. They're fundamentally rewiring their network, customer base, and cost structure simultaneously.
That's a bold thesis. Let's test it against the numbers. What were the most material changes versus what we'd typically expect from UPS?
The volume story is staggering, Sarah. Global small package operations saw average daily package volume decrease significantly. And this wasn't market-driven weakness. In the MD&A, management explicitly states they're completing targeted volume reduction from our largest customer by more than 50% from 2024 levels by June 2026. To put this in context, logistics companies typically fight tooth and nail for every package. Deliberately shedding half your largest customer's volume is unprecedented.
And how did that translate to the financial metrics?
Here's where it gets interesting. Despite massive volume declines, U.S. domestic saw business-to-consumer volumes drop 10.4% and business-to-business down 5.1%. They actually improved revenue per piece. U.S. domestic revenue per piece increased 6.5%, international package jumped 10.7%. Management specifically called out several consecutive quarters of product and customer mix improvements from their revenue quality focus. For context, in logistics, revenue per piece growth typically runs 2-4% annually. So these are exceptional improvements.
So they're trading volume for margin. What's management's tone around this strategy?
Management is remarkably confident, almost defiant. In the MD&A, they frame this as strategic execution, not defensive moves. They specifically highlight their customer-first, people-led, and innovation-driven strategy to grow in the most attractive parts of the market, including healthcare, small and medium-sized businesses, and international. The language around their network reconfiguration and efficiency reimagined initiatives is particularly telling. They describe it as end-to-end process redesign that will align organizational processes to network reconfiguration.
That sounds like corporate speak. What are they actually doing operationally?
The scale is massive. They closed 23 buildings in Q1 alone, with 22 permanently shuttered. They've identified 27 additional buildings for closure in 2026. Management states they achieved approximately $600 million of program cost savings in just the first quarter and expect $3 billion in full year-over-year cost savings from this initiative in 2026. For perspective, $3 billion represents roughly 14% of their quarterly revenue run rate. This isn't trimming around the edges.
Let's talk about financial red flags. With this level of restructuring, what's concerning you?
The execution risk is enormous, but the balance sheet provides some cushion. They're sitting on $5.80 billion in cash and equivalents against $637 million in short-term debt, so liquidity isn't immediately concerning. However, they're carrying $23.59 billion in long-term debt. The red flag is in the cost structure during transition. Operating expenses increased despite volume declines, driven by what management calls transition costs and excess operational staffing associated with outsourcing our Ground Saver product to the USPS, and increased third-party lease expense to address capacity constraints.
So they're paying for both the old network and the new one simultaneously?
Exactly. If this transition drags beyond their 2027 timeline, or if the volume mix doesn't improve as projected, they're stuck with stranded costs and a smaller revenue base. The causality chain is stark. If premium volume growth disappoints, while they've already shed scale volume, unit costs explode, and the entire thesis collapses.
What about risk disclosures? Any new concerns flagged by management?
Interestingly, no new or significantly escalated risk factors versus prior filings. But there's an important development around tariffs. Management notes that in February 2026, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a ruling invalidating certain tariffs previously imposed under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. They haven't recognized any amounts for potential refunds yet, but this could provide a tailwind if customers receive tariff refunds and increased shipping volumes.
Let's dig into the balance sheet stress points. Beyond the debt load, what's the liquidity picture?
The liquidity position is actually quite strong for a company in structural reset. $5.80 billion in cash provides significant runway, and they returned $1.4 billion to shareholders through dividends in Q1 alone, suggesting management confidence in cash generation. The concerning element is the mismatch between their transformation timeline and cash burn rate. They expect to exclude $1.3 and $1.5 billion in cost during 2026 for transformation activities, with $1.2 billion related to their driver choice program alone.
That's a massive cash outlay. How are the segments performing during this transition?
The segment story validates their premium strategy thesis. While U.S. domestic package volumes declined significantly, revenue per piece growth of 6.5% partially offset the impact. International package is the real winner. Despite volume declines of 6.6% domestically and 5.5% in exports, they achieved 10.7% revenue per piece growth. Supply Chain Solutions, boosted by the Andlauer Healthcare Group acquisition, is performing well. Management specifically highlighted progress in healthcare and international markets with network enhancements, including expansion at their Incheon, South Korea hub, and opening their largest and most advanced logistics center in Taiwan.
So, what should traders be monitoring going forward? What are the key inflection points?
Management provided specific guidance that creates clear monitoring points. First, they expect the largest customer volume reduction to complete by June 2026. That's the end of the controlled demolition phase. Second, they expect certain cost pressures that we expect to abate in the second quarter of 2026. Third, they have two temporarily idled aircraft returning to service in Q4 2026, suggesting they expect volume recovery by then.
And what would prove your structural reset thesis wrong?
Two specific scenarios would contradict our thesis. First, if revenue per piece growth accelerates above 8% while volumes stabilize or grow in Q3, Q4, 2026, it would suggest they've successfully completed the transition faster than expected. Second, if their $3 billion cost savings target is exceeded while maintaining service quality metrics, it would indicate the operational transformation is more successful than anticipated. The key metric to watch is operating margin. If they can sustain above 7% margins while growing premium volumes, our structural reset becomes a successful transformation story.
Looking at the full weight of evidence from this filing, does it confirm your initial thesis?
The evidence strongly confirms the structural reset thesis. Management is systematically dismantling a volume-based model to build a premium-focused operation. The $3 billion cost savings target, 50-plus building closures, and deliberate customer shedding aren't tactical adjustments, they're strategic demolition. At current margins of 6.0%, this equity is priced for the old UPS model, not the premium logistics provider they're trying to become.
That's our analysis of UPS's Q1 2026 10Q filing. Remember, this discussion is for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Mike. Thanks for listening to Aviation Intelligence Weekly.